الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Continuing with the verses of the Quran al-Kareem, yesterday the Tarawih Salah was read till the end of the fifth para, and commencing with Surah An-Nisa. As I mentioned yesterday, we'll discuss this last ayat of Surah Al-Imran, which is the most befitting for us, those who have come to spend Ramadan, those who are in the Khanka, those who are sitting in Itikaf. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sbiru, that O people of Iman, persevere and make sabr, be patient. So here in the month of Ramadan is the month of patience. And a person undergoes hunger, he has to be patient. He's performing Tarawih Salah, he has to be patient. He has to stay away from gunas. And he has to stay away from all things that leads to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasabiru, also a person should persevere in all his good actions, his nawafil, his tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem, the zikr and askar of the zikr of la ilaha illallah, istighfar, in du'as, etc. So persevere. And warabitu, and the common meaning the ulama mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is one meaning of rabit is to guard the frontiers, Islamic country, the frontiers or the borders, which are great, great sawab mentioned for those people who stay awake, guarding the property of the mujahideen, etc. And rabitu can also is mentioned another hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which actually refers to those people who are in itikaf. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that that person who makes wuzu in adverse conditions, many a times a person is lying down on his comfortable bed, now he has to get up for salah, he has to go make wuzu, sometimes his wuzu breaks, again he has to go, and now it is cold, etc. So now making wuzu in these conditions sometimes becomes difficult upon a person, but rabitu, again in under this verse, so many, in the same hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who frequent the masjid, what to say about those who are staying in the masjid most of the time, they are in the masjid all the time, so they are frequenting the masjid. And the third one is when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that those who wait for the next salah after one salah has been completed, like Mulana Masila rahmatullah used to say, that like a person, now he read Fajr salah, now a person just have to make intention, so easy, intention on the heart, oh now I have to make preparation, when is Zuhar time going to come? So now from the time we finish the Fajr salah till we commence the Zuhar salah, all the time inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record as if though we were in salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, this is rabit. So this is applies very, very befitting for those who are in itikaf. And also with regards to the khanka, Allama ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullahi has written in Dunya Mukhtar that the rabit refers to the khankas. And he said the khawanik, it refers to a small hole or gap or a room where the Sufis of Rome used to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ya rabit means to stick firmly to something. In other words, to guard that hole, that gap. And in what to say, that gap of the enemy of ours, of nafs and shaitan. So yeah, the rabit is befitting for the khankas as well. And then what taqullah, this is the month of taqwa. So Allah give us a tawfiq of understanding and implementing all these things. The next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Surah An-Nisa, and many injunctions are mentioned over here. In fact, one third of the surah focuses on the rights of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what will be the motivational factor, what will be the driving force to fulfill the rights of people, of the fellow human beings, of women folk, of wives, etc., is none other than taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the verse of the surah, Ya ayyuhan nas taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O mankind, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have created you from a single soul. And this ayat is a very famous ayat. It is amongst the khutbah of the nikah that is recited. And a person should understand every ayat, in fact. Every ayat of the khutbah regarding nikah, deals with the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah mentions again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. That fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by whom you ask of each other's rights to be fulfilled. وَالْأَرْحَامِ, and be wary of having ties. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah is very watchful over you. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the verse of the Quran Kareem, which many people know, even the non-huffaz know, the married people who taunt their wives and they tell, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثُ رُبَاعٍ. In fact, there are certain friends of mine, relatives of mine, and they ask me, Mulana, isn't we can take a second wife? So I said, no, stick to one wife. Then he said, but isn't Allah says in the Quran, and they read it with tajweed, if only they could learn the other surahs like this, and they say beautifully, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثُ رُبَاعٍ. So I said, why are you stopping over there? The Quran continues, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ فَوَاحِدًا. That if you fear that you will not make justice, then suffice on one. So this silences them all the time. So this is very, very important that we fulfill the rights of the people, especially our wives. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next phrase, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ أَمْوَالِ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَقُولُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. That those people who consume the wealth, who devour the wealth of the orphans unjustly, in fact, they may be enjoying that wealth, they may be looking after themselves, looking after their families, going for holidays, doing this and doing that, and not realizing they are in fact eating and consuming in their fire, in their bellies, the fire of Jahannam. Allah says that so very soon they will enter into a blazing fire. So this is very, very important. Those who are the guardians of orphans, they should be very, very careful with regards to the wealth of orphans. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the next verse, which is a very long verse, ruku in fact, with regards to the details, the finer details of inheritance, what we call ilmul faraiz. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, faridatan min Allah, it is a stipulation from Allah, wasiyatan min Allah, it is a wasir from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama explain also in this verse that after fulfilling one's debts and after bequest, fulfilling the bequest, which is up to one third, and whatever is the remainder will be distributed amongst the heirs, etc. So it is very, very important that we get everything in according to which is Sharia compliant, that the heirs should be given their rights according to the Quran and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very, very important that our will should be drawn up. As Umar radiallahu mentioned, that no two days should not pass except that a person's will should be drawn up. And there's no need to go to lawyers, etc., with all the jargon and technical terms, etc. Alhamdulillah, ready-made wills are available from the organization like the Jamiat, etc. And we just have to fill important details, and inshallah, in this way, many issues will later on of complications and disputes will be resolved and be safe, inshallah. So this is something very, very important that a person does this. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the rights of the woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah says that fulfill the rights of the woman. In other words, that live amicably with them in a very good manner. Nowhere you will find in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interceding on behalf of any woman, of any Nabi or any Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believing men, understand who is talking to us, it is Allah. Allah is telling us that live very amicably, very kindly with a woman. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَأَسَىٰ أَن تَقْرَوْ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that perhaps you might dislike something, but look at the great benefit. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِنَّ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah says that we have put indeed abundance of good in the woman, and there are many benefits. For example, that woman who left her family, her neighborhood, her family members, her surroundings, and she came to settle in a foreign place, so to say, and she adopted your surname, etc. She came to stay with the in-laws, if the case may be, and then she bears your children, she looks after you, she cooks for you, etc. So many things she does for you, but understand it and appreciate it. These are the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something very, very important And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that khiyarukum khiyarukum li nisaihim, that the best of you are those who are good to their wives. Wa ana khayrukum li nisaihi, and I am the best with regards to the treatment of my wives. So this we should take a leaf from the chapter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see that we fulfill the rights of the woman. And there are many things that can be mentioned here. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned yaghlibna al-kareem wa yaghlibuhunna na'iyalaim, that a woman is such, they may be over dominant, overpowering that husband. What we see, petticoat government, never mind. But, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that they overpower a very noble person, a soft-natured person. And وَيَغْلِبُهُنَّ لَئِيمٌ, but a hard-hearted person, a very, so to say, who rules the iron fist, he overpowers them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned أَنَا أُحِبَّ نَكُنَ كَرِيمًا مَغْلُوبًا, that I prefer to be a noble person, a good qualities, and be overpowered by the woman. وَلَا أُحِبَّ نَكُنَ غَالِبًا لَئِيمًا, and I do not want to be a dominant, a dictator, and a wretched person. So similarly, with regards to the verse of the Quran al-Kareem, الرجال قوامون على النساء, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the men are overseers and protectors over the woman. For anything to function properly, we'll see in the example, in a company, there is a director, there is a boss. In a government, there is a president to see for the smooth functioning of affairs. Similarly, with regards in marriage, there has to be someone of the head, and that is the husband. And the woman, we should understand, yeah, the weaker sex, and men are more physically and mentally more stronger, and men have broader shoulders. So that is why the woman needs to lean upon our shoulders and take support. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this responsibility. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that if a dispute comes about, and maybe there is a split, and maybe there is there'll be some dissension between husband and wife, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْأَثُوا حَكَّمًا مِنْ أَهْلِي وَحَكَّمًا مِنْ أَهْلِيَا, then bring, appoint a arbitrator from his family and an arbitrator from her family. So yeah, there is no need to go to psychiatrists and psychologists and pay huge sums of money. So easy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it upon us that some level-headed person from the family, respectable elderly person from the husband's family, the wife's family, sit together, thrash out the matters and resolve it. يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحَ يُوَفِّكِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, Allah said if both the husband and wife want islah and reconciliation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for them. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, that this something is very, very important, that this is something the best, that reconciliation. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah many, many injunctions and details with regards to tayammum, salat and safar, as well as the manner of performing salatul khawf. Thereafter, before the first quarter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a verse إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you that you fulfill the trust to his rightful owners. The background of this verse is very, very interesting, that before Hijra, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Kaaba Sharif, and he requested Usman bin Talha radiallahu anhu. We say radiallahu anhu because alhamdulillah he accepted Islam. At that time he was not a believer. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested for the keys and for the Kaaba to be open so that he can perform salah. So Hazrat Usman bin Talha at that time told him very, very harsh words, and he criticized Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his nature. He was tolerant. He didn't say oof. He didn't say nothing. But he smiled at him and he said, oh Usman, a day will come when the keys will be in my hands, and I, whomsoever wish I desire, I will give that person the keys. And this person, he did the devil soul searching, and he thought to himself that maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he's saying, he is true. At whatever, even the kuffar at that time realized the statements of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so effective, and he thought of bringing, accepting Islam at that time. But the people around him started taunting him, and then at that time he did not accept Islam. Thereafter, when the conquest of Makkah taken place, thereafter now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave blanket amnesty to all those people who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, man dakhala bayta Abu Sufyan, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be granted granted forgiveness, amnesty, etc. There, at the now he came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to the Kaaba and he asks for the key. As Usman radiallahu anhu gives him the key. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes inside, performs two rakat salah. And thereafter when he comes out, Ali radiallahu anhu says, asks, O Nabi of Allah, give me the key. Abbas radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, give me the key. They were involved in siyaqa, that is, they used to grant over the hajis water from Zamzam and feed the hajis and give them water to drink. So they also wanted to become custodians of the key. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they recited this verse, Inna Allah ya'munukum an tu'addul amanati ila ahliya. And he gave the keys to Usman radiallahu anhu. And he said, O Usman, this is the legacy, this key will remain in your family. And up till today, those who have the key are the descendants of Usman bin Talha radiallahu anhu. And he was walking away, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him, and he said, O Usman, didn't I remind you and tell you the day will come when this keys will be in my possession and I will give it to whomsoever I wish, and now it's in your hands. And thereafter he recited the kalima. So you imagine, this was the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this warned himself towards the deen of Islam. In fact, Ashraf al-Itani rahmatullah has mentioned Ashraf al-Jawab, many incidents where because of akhlaq, this is also a wrong notion that amongst the kuffar, the orientalists, etc., the na'uzubillah, that Islam spread by the sword. But in fact, it was through the akhlaq of the Sahaba, akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people entered into the fold of Islam in large numbers. It is mentioned, William Mayer, he was a historian, he said, Muinuddin Chisti Ajmeri rahmatullahi, one safar of his from Agra to Delhi, 90,000 strong and staunch Hindus accepted Islam. So this was the nur al-barakat of the akhlaq, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many important injunctions of amanat. For example, amanat trust, which we owe to Allah, our salah, our fasting, our zakat, our hajj, etc. The rights we owe to fellow human beings, those who are appointed as position, principals, those who are given authority, who are made trustees of wealth, there should not be no embezzlement of wealth. And also, for example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned al-majalisu bil-amana. If something is discussed in a gathering, then it should not be taken outside the gathering. Al-mustasharu mu'taminun. Whoever comes and seeks mashura from you, give him the appropriate and correct advice, because this also is an amanat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a warning, إِذَا أُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِي فَانْتَزِلِ سَاءَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, a time will come when the affairs will be handed over to those people who will be not competent enough. Then fear the day of Qiyamah, fear the final hour, that is the day of Qiyamah. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an incident with regards to فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah says, but a qasam of your Lord, that they will not believe until you pass judgment in the disputes between them. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Then they will not find any dissatisfaction in those things which you have passed judgment. وَيُسَلِّمُوا التَّسْلِيمَ. And they wholeheartedly submit. What was the incident? It is mentioned there was a munafiq, but name of Bishr, he had a dispute with a Jew regarding a certain dispute. So this Jew, imagine this Jew, he's saying, let us go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and resolve this matter. This Jew, this munafiq said, no, let's go by Ka'b bin Ashraf, your scholar. And so eventually they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the case and he passed judgment in favor of the Jew. This munafiq Bishr was not happy. He decides, now let's go to Umar, maybe he'll pass in my favor. When he comes to know that prior to this they have been to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and judgments are already made by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu says, wait, I'm coming. He goes, he fetches his sword and he beheads his munafiq and he tells, how can you be unhappy with the decision of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is why he was given this title of Faruq, the one who discerns between haq and batil, between truth and falsehood. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the previous verse, walau anna يظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفر الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجد الله التواب الرحيم. That those people who have committed excesses and who have committed gunas, جاءوك, they will come to you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then for those people who have come to you, they should make istighfar to Allah, and the Nabi will make istighfar on their behalf. Then Allah, you will find Allah in this condition, who is accepting tawbah and very very merciful. It is mentioned one occasion, a tabi was sitting Rawdah Mubarak, Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a Bedouin came and recited this verse, and he said in Arabic, and he mentioned that, O Nabi of Allah, Allah has mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, and the Kalam of Allah is true, that he mentioned this verse and he recited this verse, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, that now you make istighfar on my behalf, and he recited his poem that Ya khayra man dufina bilqaa ya'dhumuhu fa taaba min tayyibin alqamu wal akamu rafsi alfida liqabrin anta sakinuhu fihi alafafu wa fihi aljud wal karamu. He recited this couplet and he went away. The tabi who was over there witnessed all this, he fell asleep, and in a dream Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, go and find that Bedouin and tell him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him. As Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi has mentioned, that in this verse a person who comes in front of Rawdah Mubarak, then he should recite this verse and address that, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two things were in my control. I have come to you. Secondly, I am making istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the third thing only is left, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes istighfar on our behalf. Allah give us the tawfiq of doing this whenever we go to the Rawdah Mubarak. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one verse of the Quran al-Kareem, which is a great lesson for us, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever good comes to you, then it is from Allah. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. And whatever affliction comes to you, whatever musibah comes to you, because it is of your own doings. And like Hazrat Dawud Barakat explained yesterday, that sometimes person does good, he gets a narrow escape from an accident, etc. Then he say, oh, how I escape? Because of some action he done. And when a person is involved in gunas, and that is one of his greatest enemies, then some musibah comes upon him. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَمِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That is why it is very, very important that for ourselves, that whatever harm comes to us, then we should say it because of our sins. And if others, then we should think that, oh, Allah is elevating the stages, etc. And this is very, very important, a person acknowledge his sins. That is why the one dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma wa bihamdika in saraftu, Allah through your ham, that I am able, and through your praises, I am able to make movements of my limbs. Wa bi dhunubina i'tarafna, and oh Allah, through my sins and my gunas, I am admitting i'tiraf kusur, which is very, very important. So this is something very, very important, that a person should admit his gunas and admit his faults. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the end of the half para, Allah mentions, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أُرْدُّهَا. That when you have been greeted with a salam, with a greeting, then respond in a much better way, or return it in an equal manner. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. Allah has full record of each and everything. So here the word huya or tahiyya is mentioned. It means to give life. And this in regard and reality, making salam, we are giving life to that person, we granting him safety. That is why one alim said very, very beautiful from Bangladesh, that salam has three meanings. One is the common meaning, that salam peace be upon you, that safety be upon you. The second meaning is one of the meaning, names of Allah, as-salam, that may Allah be with you all the time. The third meaning is that we giving him guarantee that you are safe from my hands and from my tongue. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisani wa yadihi. And this is such a mubarak, and ya Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give a better jawab. So it is very, very important we make the full salam, that the person makes the salam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then a person will get 30 sawab. Tahiyyatan min indillah, this is a greeting from Allah. Mubarakatan, it is full of barakat. Tayyibah, it is very, very pure. Such a greeting. So Hazrat tells us that these 20 people is in Kanzul Daqaiq, Kanzul Amal, it is mentioned, the person who makes 20 people salam, so much of fazilat, a person will get so much of reward, etc. So it is very, very important that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned, afshu salam bainakum, that makes salam common amongst you. So the a person should make salam and spread the salam and make it common amongst the people. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the trait of the munafiqeen, that وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى, that when they stand up to perform salah, then they stand up in a very lazily manner. That, and we should also see whether this quality is in us, that we now full of lethargy, we are forced to come for salah, whereas the qualities of the believers, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, الذين هم في صلاة مخاشئون, that those who stand in the salah and have khushu and khudu. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah he mentioned a very beautiful point. He said there are only two times when a person stand before Allah. One is at the time before salah and one is on the day of qiyamah. He said that if a person stands correctly in salah and with enthusiasm, with khushu and khudu, then the second standing become very, very easy. That is on the day of qiyamah. Allah give us the tawfiq inshallah. Then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ, they perform salah so that their people can be seen amongst people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, and very little do they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the quality of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, that O people of Iman, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Yeah, no other verse will find kathira affixed to any verse like you will find the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the last verse, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ مِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ, what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got to do by giving you punishment if you make shukr and you believe? Like yesterday was mentioning Islahi Akhlaq, what is shukr? There are two types of shukr. One is to acknowledge the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acknowledge the favors from insan, the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very, very important, that why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a person some musibat, involve him in some accident, some heart attack, etc. When a person is making shukr, then this will not come about. And what is shukr? To use the ni'mats and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience of Allah. That and so many bounties we are enjoying from morning to evening, so many bounties. So our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our health, the wealth that we are given. So many, we can't even count the bounties. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, so many bounties. But we should use these bounties in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what will happen? وَكَانُ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا, Allah is very, very appreciative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for small, small excuses to overlook our faults, to forgive our gunas, to accept our ibadah, etc. So this is also one part of shukr that was discussed yesterday, that a person, he makes itiraf bi qusur, he admits his faults and he makes tawbah. This is also one part of shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of all the time becoming grateful of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa qaleelu min ibadiy ash-shakur, very, very few servants make shukr and are grateful to the for the bounties of Allah. That is why one person was making tawaf around the Kaaba and he says, Allahumma ij'alni min al-qaleel, Allahumma ij'alni min al-qaleel. Umar radiallahu anhu got hold of him and he said, there's so many duas you can make, what is this qaleel you making? He said, oh Umar, hasn't having to read the Quran, Allah wa qaleelu min ibadiy ash-shakur, very few servants make my shukr. Oh, I am making dua, make me amongst those few. Allah also make us among those few also and include us and accept all whatever has been said. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.